The date is February 16th. This is Julie Sunina, and I'm interviewing John Violetta on his musical career. Okay, we're at Mr. Violetta's house right now, and Mr. Violetta and I are present right now. When and where were you born?
I was born in Nagani in 542 Iron Street. The same house that's in the picture. You know, it showed the picture of the shop. There's the house next door. I was born right there. In the house, not in the hospital.
Okay. What were your parents' names?
My father's name was Joseph Violetta. My mother's name was Anna Jugler.
What are the names of your brothers and sisters?
There's seven of us in the family. The oldest was Silvio, then Sec, and Adolf. They were the three boys. Then there were three girls, Catherine, Virginia, and Josephine. And then I was born. I was the last one. What are you smiling about? Were you the last one too?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
How many in your family?
Two.
Two? Well, your last anyway, you got it too. You're going to have to delete some of this, you know.
When and where were you married?
Okay, we were married here at St. Paul's Rectory, December the 28th, 1939. A long time ago.
What is your spouse's name?
My wife's name is June Marie Morse. That was her maiden name.
What did your parents do for a living?
My father worked in the mines, and he directed the Nagani City Band for 35 years. And they owned a bowling alley. They had it for up until 1965, I believe it was, and there was a fire. There was an explosion and a fire. And it, no more bowling alley.
Where did you go to school?
I went to school here in Nagani, and I went to Northern.
Okay. What special memories do you have of growing up in this area?
Probably from the Depression. One of the things that I remember quite well, they used to have carnivals right in town, mm-hmm. in our backyard. They were. What else did I remember? The circus. I used to watch them unload circuses. I can remember during the Depression, it cost a dime to go to the show. And we didn't have dimes to go to the show. So that was when everybody had gardens. Everybody had a garden. And the gardens were, CCI gave us land to grow on. Mm-hmm. And so if you think about everybody having a garden, I had a wagon, and my mother would make bundles of onions and carrots and things for me to sell, which was rather difficult. But fortunately, if I could sell 10 bunches, then I had a dime to go to the show. And one day, I was up by the hotel, and there was a cook up there. Her name was Ida Sundell. And my brother worked there, so I stopped to see him. And the cook said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I'm selling vegetables." She said, "What do you have?" I said, "I've got, I don't remember if I had two or three bunches left." She said, "I just happened to need two," or whatever it was, bunches of carrots. She bought all I had left so I could go to the show. So then after that, you know, I got wise. When I got down to the last couple of bunches and I couldn't sell them, I would stop over and see her. So I got to the show every week that way, see?
Okay, let's see. What special features stand out in your mind about the cities of Ishpeming and Nagani from when you were younger?
The most special thing was the streetcar. The streetcar went right by in front of our house. It would come from Ishpeming, and we would watch it come up the hill, then they had to make a sharp turn to go down Iron Street. And sometimes in the winter they couldn't make the hill, and the conductor would have to lean out from the outside of the cab and throw sand under the wheels. This, you didn't even know about this. Throw sand under the wheels. You lived up there by the gas hose. Do you remember the gas hose up there?
Mm-hmm.
You don't. It was gone already. Huh? Nobody talked about it. Oh. And the gas hose made electricity so that they could run this streetcar. It went all the way up to the end of Pine Street, all the way up to the Salisbury School. And then it came back and went up as far as the Brighting Hotel in Negaunee, you know where the Brighting was. And when the streetcar would be coming by and the band was playing, and the band would be marching down the street, and the streetcar came, then the band would have to split two roads, go on one side, two on the other, and we'd go down right again.
How have the cities changed?
Oh. When I was very young, we had everything. We had shoemakers, we had tailors, we had very many food stores,
mm-hmm.
grocery stores. We had everything that you could want in a small town. It was self-contained. Everything we needed was here. We had garages, we had blacksmiths, we had harness makers, we had watchmakers, we had cigar stores. We had everything. And now we haven't got anything.
You didn't have to go to like Marquette or anything like that?
Nobody went to Marquette. My mother lived here. She came here in 1907. And the first time she went to Marquette was in the 30s, about 1932 or 33, something like that.
Oh.
I had an uncle who had a bicycle. He and his friend, when he first came here, he was in his early 20s. And they would ride on their bicycles all the way to Marquette to go to the brewery. There was a brewery in Marquette. You know where the D&N is in Marquette? You see that nice stone little building there? There was a huge, huge brewery down there. They would ride all the way down there, have a couple of beers, and ride back on those old roads and everything. God, it was a long ways to go, wasn't it, for a beer? Of course, when they were young and had something to do, see?
Okay, let's see. What kinds of things did you and your friends do for entertainment when you were teenagers?
When I was a teenager? I was a different kind of a teenager. I was playing dance jobs from when I was in the eighth grade. So I didn't do all the things the other kids did. They went to dances. I played for them. They'd go to football games, and I'd be playing for the football game. And I never did much. Really, not until I got out of high school did I do much of anything except play. I played in the band three nights a week. We had two rehearsals a week, city band. Then we played a concert. That was three nights a week. And I played on the average of 2 to 3 nights a week. Dance jobs. In fact, I kept a diary when I was a junior, and the month of December I played 32 dance jobs. We used to play afternoons in school on Friday afternoons, and we'd play nights. So I never had much of a teenage. I was always playing all the time. Unless you could call that teenage, I don't know. Never had a date until I got out of high school. I was sheltered. There were so many women around, but you're always playing. By the time you got through the job, they went home. You had to get home yourself to get to sleep, you know.
How old were you when you found out your first job, and where did you work?
The first job that I can recollect, other than with those vegetables, I worked a fella on Main Street, and my uncle got me the job, and I would go down there 5 days a week. I'd get there about 9, come home about noon, be back at 1, and stay till about 4. I worked 5 days a week for one whole month, gardening, raking, cleaning up, doing little chores around there. And at the end of the month, he gave me a check for $3. I never went back. I was mad. Especially mad because I was playing dance jobs. I was making $1 an hour playing dance jobs. So it was foolish.
What types of duties did you perform on your first job, other than that?
Other than that, that was about all I did. Gardening and mowing the lawn. And what else do you do around a place like that? Sod some wood. raked, swept, cleaned the garage out.
Okay. What stands out most in your mind about your first job?
He duped me. He cheated me.
During your lifetime, where were you employed the longest?
Running the music store. We opened the store April the 1st, 1946. This might interest you. We were married at the time, and I was working in the mines, and I was working two shifts. I was a lamp man. He wore the electric lamps on the head. So I'd go to work for 4 hours in the morning, and I'd come home for 4 hours, then I'd go back for 4 hours to get the other shifts. See, one coming off and one going on. Then I'd come home for 4 hours, then I'd go play a dance job for 4 hours, then I'd come home and sleep for 4 hours. And I did that for 18 months straight, 12 hours a day. The only night I had off was Monday nights. Of course, my wife was home with the children. And she wanted to go visiting, which I couldn't blame her any. And so we went visiting a friend of ours, Joe Barraby, you probably remember him. And we went down to the house, and it got to be about 10 o'clock. And I said to my wife, let's go home, because I'm tired. She said, we don't go home only once in a while. We want to go home. She said, why don't you quit something? I said, yeah, that's a good idea. That was a Monday night. Tuesday morning, she called me to go to work. I said, no, I quit. And she said, well, okay. Tuesday night, she said, you got to go play a dance job. I said, no, I quit. That went for a couple of days. And she thought, well, what are you going to do? After about a week, she said, you going back to work? I said, well, never even went back for my clothes, for mine, the dirty clothes, I left them there, you know. And she said, what are you going to do? So the first thing that came to my mind, I said, I'm going to open a music store. Just like that, that's all I said. So, I opened a store.
How?
And I've been at it ever since. So,
how?
It's 55 years, isn't it? 46, 91. 45 years. This is 93. 47 years, isn't it? My math isn't always the best. Look at here. Figure it out.
47.
47 years. Wow. That's almost as old as your mother. No comments.
How or why did you choose this career?
Why did I choose that trade? I just explained to you why I did. It just popped out of my head, that's all.
Did you really like music when you were a child?
When I was a child? Very much so. I was, let me show you some things. This is why I wanted you to come down.
There?
I probably was what? How old would you say a child be there, sitting in a tool like that? 6, 7 months? 8 months maybe? Yeah. Or maybe, oh, I can't be much older than that, eh? Yeah. If I was that old, eh? Yeah. Dad had the band next door. It was just next door, so. Music is my whole life. My hobby, my work, my career, everything. Here I was playing the horn. I was probably, what, 3 or 4 years old. They told me I could play songs on it at the time. That's how far I went back, see? Then this goes on. Here's where I was had the drum corps, 1939. This is me over here in the corner with hair, dark hair. This is some of the pictures of the drum corps and things. This is an unusual picture. This picture here, I had a little band, we used to call it a German band. And this was in 1940, I'll get the date on it, get it right for you. Yeah, 1935. This was in 1935. And 50 years later, we took a picture, and there's the same five of us again.
Cool.
Four of us, we were just taking our picture. Don't bother the phone. We taking our picture here. We had brand new uniforms. And this fellow we hadn't seen in about 20 years happened to be going by. He was in town. And we came over, we took the picture again. That's the same thing. Isn't that unusual? Oh, and this is when I got into the band. They made a member in 1934. And it goes on and on. This is the city band where I was conducting the band after my dad passed away. This is some of the bands that I had played with. This is where we went to Green Bay and we played in the Chicagoland Music Festival. I was conducting and we won first prize in the Chicagoland Music Festival. They asked us to compete in Chicago. We were in Green Bay and we went from there to Chicago, but we couldn't afford it. We didn't have any money there. This is where I was directing the barbershop. Oh, that's where I went to school for CON, for musical instruments. There's the shop. There's the picture. See it? This is about what you did. This is the inside of it. This is the steel door that was in there. This building was about the second or third building, not little house, building that was built in Igani. Because this building went all the way back to the 1850s. It was a bank, and there's the bank door. And if you ever go to the mining museum down here, mm-hmm. you'll find the door there. That's the one we donated it to. This is some of the school bands that I... After we started the music store, Bill Hampton, from Champion came down and wanted to know if I would start the band in Champion. It was in 52. So I started the band in Champion. Then from there, I started the band in Mishigami. And from there, I started the band in National Mine, and there to Republic. And then I got it written on the paper here for you. Then I went to Republic. Where else are they here? Someplace. Oh, in the back. Yeah, there they are. Champion, Mishigami, National Mine, Republic, Scandia, Evan, Channing, Perkins, and Rock. And I'd go there, I'd work one day a week until the band got started. Then I would leave, and then they'd get a full-time teacher. The only one that I didn't start that way, I started the band in National Mine, but I didn't teach. They hired a man right away. They could afford it, so they hired a man right away. So they started off with 5 days a week right away. That's just some of the bands that I had in Scandia and different places, Mishigami, some of the things that were there. For my 50th birthday, the cooks, the kids baked the cake. And what was funny about it, twins, when I was in Rock, we had three sets of twins in the band. One of the sets of twins made this cake for me, and they brought it to high school band rehearsal, thinking they were going to have a piece of cake. But it looked so lovely, I said, I'm not going to cut it here. I'm going to bring it home. I brought it home. I'm not going to let them have it. That's just pictures of Rock, different bands. And then I would have bands get together. Some of the bands that I was with, the National Mine, Rock, and Perkins, and all of them, we'd have masked bands. We'd all get together, and we'd all play a couple of numbers. Then we'd put them all together and play numbers together. This was some of the seating arrangements we had. When I left Rock, they gave me a swing. And then I went back the next year. They didn't have anybody. And the next year that I went back, then they gave me a rotisserie. Oh, I got something to show you. This is... We were sitting in the car, getting ready to leave, the last time that I left Rock, and the kids came out and they surrounded the car, and they wouldn't let me drive off. I said, I gotta go. So a trombone player came over. He was one of these that was always mischievous, you know, not in trouble, just mischievous, you know. And he said, look what I got for you. He said, here's a rock, because it was in rock. Here's a rock. He said, and all the kids touched it before they gave it to me. Isn't that something? It's just a rock, but it's important, you see. Some good kids. So, there's some of the bands I was in. Some of the things that it did. And I played with a circus band.
What was that like?
Pardon?
What was that like?
What's it like? It's very exciting. One of the circus bands that I played with was with Merle Evans, who was the band director for the Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus for 50 years, and he never missed a rehearsal or a concert. He buried his wife one morning and went right on to play the weekend. He wasn't being mean or anything about it. He had to do it, see? And I had a chance to play under him. I played with a big group called Windjammers. We make recordings of all the old circus music. We meet twice a year. And then there's a place called Circus School in Sarasota, where they teach students half a day in school, and half a day they train them for aerial acts, for acrobatics, for all the things that you would do in a circus. And when we were there, they asked us if Mr. Evans, Merle Evans, if he would pick a band, a small band out of the group, to play for their circus. And I was one of the fortunate ones to get picked. Tremendous. And the nice thing about it was that Charles Kuralt, you're familiar, was there, and he was making a movie of it. And I sat on the outside row, and when he made the movie of it, they got more of me than they did of Merle Evans, because I was always in the way. Every time they would pan it, they'd catch me first, then him. It was funny. Then it was on national TV. And I had people call me when I came home from just about all over the United States, and I got letters from them saying that they saw me on national TV. It was quite exciting.
Mm-hmm. What year was it?
That was about 83, 84. Another exciting trip I had, which was a very good trip. I also played with a band from Chatfield, Minnesota. It was called the Chatfield Brass Band, and they were making a trip to Washington, D.C. and to Baltimore, and we needed a clarinet player. They asked me if I would go, and I was very much honored. And we played for Sousa's 50th anniversary of his death at the grave, and we were the only band that has ever played with the Marine Band. No other band has ever played with the Marine Band. So you see, I could say I played with the Marine Band, and the first thing you think of, oh boy, but it wasn't that way at all. I was playing with another band that played with the Marine Band. Mm. Then from there we went on to Baltimore, and when we got to Baltimore, we played with the Baltimore Symphony, that is the Chatfield Brass Band played with the Baltimore Symphony. We had some fine trips there. It was exciting. I think I have some stuff here. Well, this is that circus band that I was telling you about that we play with, the big band, see? Here's some of the aerialist acts in that we played for. Can you see one? And then I had Merle Evans. This is Merle Evans here. He signed one for me, Merle Evans. So I got his autograph. Oh, we did sailing while we were there, different things that we did. Then I had a chance to play under Mr. Ravelli from the University of Michigan. He was there for 35 or 40 years. And the funny story about it is that he's a very, very strict person, and he complained about everything. He had one fellow play a solo passage. It was about 3 measures long. We had to play it about 6 times because that's the way he wanted it. He was one of those kind of guys. And that night when we were at the motel, it was about 11:30 at night, and We were sitting there talking with one of the drummers, and we were talking food. We were talking about polenta and different things. You don't know what polenta is. Your mother's going to have to make it for you sometime. And while we were talking, Mr. Ravelli, Dr. Ravelli, came by, and he heard us talking. And he said, oh, he said, where are you from? And I told him where my parents had come from. And his parents had come from about 50 kilometers away from where my parents had come from. And he was tired, he was going to go to bed. So this was 11:30. At 2 o'clock, we were still talking, the two of us, about Italy, and we were talking Italian amongst ourselves and that. So what happened then, the next day, this is funny, the next day, he was in the lineup greeting people coming through. He was the guest of honor. Well, I was about halfway through the line, and I came through, and we shook hands, and he said, oh, make a stack from Levant. And I said, oh, I talked to him Italian. And he said, where are you sitting? I said, no place in particular. So he left the line. He still had people coming. He left the line. I was embarrassed to tears. He left the line and took me over and sat me down at a table. We're sitting there chatting. Well, pretty soon the guests are all through, and they're sitting up and they're waiting for Dr. Ravelli, the guest of honor, to come up and sit at the table. He said, well, I'm not going. He said, I'm going to sit here with my friend. And I said, you got to go up there. He said, well, you come too. And I said, no, I'm not going up there. So he finally went anyway, and it was funny, because the next day he was chewing everybody out, but anything I did was okay. It was funny. The guy would say, oh yeah, by that, he can do anything he wants. It was funny. It's such a crab, too, you know. That was funny. Now, what else can I tell you?
Yeah.
Oh, this is a band. This is a tuba band. I was in Manistique, and I read this article where they're going to have an all-tuba band, just tubas. So I went down. It was at the Wisconsin Dells. My wife and I went down to hear this tuba band. Well, we were standing up on a balcony looking down, waiting for the tuba band to come. And the tuba band wasn't ready before the parade started. So while we're standing there, the lady and the fella next to us, the lady wanted to go to the bathroom, so June went to the bathroom with her. And the fella and I started to chat. He said, what are you doing down here? And I said, I came down to see this tuba band. He said, you traveled from all the way up in Michigan to hear a tuba band? And I said, yeah. He said, do you play tuba? And I said, sort of. He said, well, he said, my brother-in-law is the one that conducts that band. He said, and the band is forming right behind here. He said, why don't you go and talk to him? So I ran off to talk to him. Well, when I went off to talk to him, the guy said to me, you want to play in the band? I said, of course. He said, do you have a tuba? I said, no. He said, well, my junior high band is the first in the parade. He said, I'll have the kid run back with the tuba for you so you can play in the parade. So when I went back to tell my wife, she said, I know. She said, you're going to play with the band? I said, yeah. So that's the band I played with, see? It's all tubas, 200 of them.
Whoa.
It was fun. So every other year, we meet down there. I'm the only one that isn't from Wisconsin. It's called the Wisconsin Marching Tuba Band. See? So that was exciting for me. Don't go away. Here's some more. Here's some of the groups that I've played with. Let's say, saxophone quartet that I've played with. And this is a Dixieland band that I've been playing with. And, oh, this is where, in that Windjammers band that I played with, a friend of mine was in there, gave my name to a band in England, in New England. New Hampshire, in fact. And they needed a drummer, so he called me to see if I would go. So I went to Europe and played 21 days with a band in Europe. We traveled all over Europe, all over Switzerland,
wow.
Austria, and all over. That was an exciting trip. And I didn't think I'd know anybody there. And the first morning I got there, I went downstairs to breakfast, and I saw somebody sitting there in the corner. And I looked down for him, I said, I know who you are. He said, of course you do. It was a friend that I had met in Windjammers that played tuba. So we had somebody to hang around with, which was great. Then, This is my roommate. His name is Drew Cloman. He's an actor. He's a French horn player. He's an actor. See the different acts that he portrayed? He's on TV. He's on commercials. He's been in the movies. He's been working, and he plays French horn. He played French horn with this group. And he knew a million stories. If you dropped your hat, he had a joke to tell about a hat. If you talked about a word, he had a joke to tell. And he was telling me stories. We'd wake up in the middle of the night, and he'd start to tell me a story, and we'd be laughing. And the next morning, the people would say, well, what did he tell you? What did he tell me? It was an exciting trip, a very good trip. Enjoyed it very much. Went to different places. This might interest you. This was a museum that they had there. And this museum had things that looked like a horn, see it?
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't a horn. It was a thing that they locked around your neck. If you made and come to find out, I told him where I was from, and he said, well, if you're from up there, you must know Republic. I said, yeah. He said, my father was the engineer for Carnegie. Carnegie, the big one, the steel worker. And Carnegie sent him up here to plat different towns. He platted out the town in Republic, and the main street is called Cloman Avenue. Are you familiar with that? Okay. There was a Cloman mine there too, so I took pictures of it. Then he said, there's some place, there's a town called Cloman in the Upper Peninsula that was named after my grandfather. Well, I finally found it. It was down by Stevenson. All that was left was one building. So I took a picture of it and I sent it to him.
Yeah.
So that's Cloman. That's Windsor.
I have a few more questions here.
Pardon?
I have a few more questions here.
You better ask me before I get started again.
I got that one. What was the most rewarding part of your career?
Oh, working with the students when I was teaching. I enjoyed it very much. I missed it. I didn't miss the teaching. I missed the students. I still have very good friends that write me. We keep in contact. I get letters all the time. Once in a while I get a phone call. In fact, one of the unusual things, I was in Albuquerque 3 years ago in Albuquerque, and we went to the Balloon Fest. They had thousands of these huge balloons flying all over the place. And I went there by myself. June didn't want to go. It was early in the morning. You had to be there about 5:30, 6 in the morning. And the second morning that I was there, I went up to get a ticket. And I said to the guy that was there, I said, I might as well get a season ticket because I'm going to come every day. And there was a young lady with her back to me on the other side. And she turned around and she said, Father John. That's what the kids used to call me. She recognized my voice. I hadn't seen her in about, 12, 15 years. She recognized my voice. It was a student I had. That's something. Makes you feel good. Now, would I do it again? Absolutely. I'd do it all over again.
Okay.
That about covers it?
Yeah, that's about it.
How are you going to get all that in one year? Little paragraph. You're going to have to cut there, slash here.
It can be about, how long can it be about? Some are 3-4 pages long.
Articles?
Yeah.
Well, I thought they just put real articles in there. Oh. You got a chore then.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I got another book. I don't think there's much more to add, is there? What else can I tell you? He found about where I played, where I taught, where I worked. What else? I'm flattered, really. I'm flattered.
Thank you very much for letting me do this interview.
You're welcome. Hobbies. Books. I like literature. I like words. Things with words. See, word origins, words at play, dictionaries, encyclopedias, homonyms, etc. Many things I like. I like China. I've been reading a lot about China. I like sailing. I like trains. I like watches. I have a collection of watches. I have a collection of watch chains. My wife says, you better quit pretty soon because I have about several hundred of them. This is just some of them. There's some hanging there. Wherever I go, I try to pick up the watch chain. This one is Columbus 500th anniversary. I was on board Pinta, a replica of the Pinta down in Columbus, Ohio. Fine. Is it small? It's such a small boat. Goodness, it was an exact replica, but small. Oh, man. And I have watches. I have grandfather's watch. See, I always carry a watch. I don't have a wristwatch. I carry a watch. This was my father's watch, underground mining watch. It's a railroad watch, actually. This is just some of them that I have. Little watches in there. There's some that have rear cranks that you have to turn the crank. They don't mean much to you. They do if you know a little bit about it. But the inside workings are different on each one. I had my grandfather's watch, of which I gave to my son. When we were 21 years old, our parents gave all the boys a watch. I didn't get a brand new watch. I got a watch that belonged to my grandfather, because I was named after him. So I had it from 21 years old until I was 71 years old. And then I decided I'd give it to my son. I said, I've had it 50 years. You enjoy it, because if you wait for me to die, I'm going to live to be 100. I said, you might not have seen it for a long time. So he's got it. What else? There's some more keychains up here. This is something. Our son gave you this. Isn't that neat? Look at how it's made. Isn't that neat? He's always finding things funny. Jerry is. See the what? The trumpet he gave me with the word John on it?
That's neat too. I like that.
Isn't that neat? This is a picture of our family. One of the girls had died already.
That was taken
at one of the birthday parties. Let's see, that was the one they took of my sister Josephine. That was 3 years ago. Have you got enough? You gotta stop me. Would you believe I was the shyest person in the world? And about 10 years ago I started talking and my wife says I can't stop them anymore.
Thanks again.
You're welcome. I'll be glad to do it for you. The important things you're going to find later on, the things that you like.